Welcome to Torah Life Ministries, teaching about the instruction of our Creator and putting His Word into action, from suffering well to living a blessed life, looking forward to the hope and future that awaits true believers of the faith. Welcome to the show and your host, Paul Neeson.
Hello, brothers and sisters, praise y'all for another blessed day as we continue to read the Word here. And we are in the Torah reading now on Exodus 20. And in Exodus 20, we're given the Ten Commandments by our wonderful Creator in the Torah, which is often known as the law or something that is supposedly done away with according to Christianity today. But by all means, the Old Testament original covenant laws are really guidelines and instructions, and they're called the Torah. And the Torah might be known as a Jewish word, so people think it's for Jewish people, but the foundation of all scripture is the first five books of the Bible, which contains the will of our Creator for our lives. And the goal of the Torah, or the instructions, or the guidelines, or the foundation, or His will for our life, is, as it says in Ezekiel 37, I take no pleasure in the death of wicked people. I only want them to change from their wicked ways so they would live, so they have life. So the Torah exposes what wickedness is. And the reason for that is to show us how not to die prematurely, not to die before our time, not to bring hardship on our life. Just like a parent loves his child, our Creator, our Heavenly Father, loves us so much that He wants to tell us what's bad, what'll harm us, and what to stay away from in life. So the Torah also reveals to us what's good and how we should be and how we should act. But it tells us definitely things we should avoid so we don't bring these curses upon our lives. Because in the Bible, there's blessings and curses. And obedience to the Torah, the guideline instructions, or listening to our Creator's will is going to bring blessings in our lives. But then there are curses in our lives that are a result of disobedience to His holy word. Now, people today want to use words like sin and disobedience and all this, but when we hear the word sin or submit, all of a sudden those words get a bad idea in today's society. Sin and submit means religion. Sin and submit means religion. But if we just look and understood, there's the will of our Father, His guidelines, His instructions, and our love for Him, to trust Him and understand that He knows better than we do. He created us, and He knows what's best for us and what's not best for us. And we have to think about these things, because in today's world, culture is overriding our Creator's guidelines and instructions. And sin, if it had any motivation behind it, or let's say the enemy, who is the opposite of our Creator and absolutely hates us and wants to destroy us, where our Creator wants to save us, wants us to sin and will do everything to promote sin or disobedience to our Creator's will. So sin is the result of everything that goes against our Creator's guidelines and instructions for our lives. And we're going to talk about one of these particular sins today, because it's happening too commonly today. And when I say culture overrides Yah's instructions and guidelines, the culture today is run by the enemy, who wants us to sin. Where Yah says, I take no pleasure in the death of wicked people. I only want them to change from their wicked ways so they would live and have life, and life everlasting. He loves us so much. He says, know the plans He has for us, they are for good and not disaster, to give us a future and a hope. But it also says in the scriptures, there's a way before each person that seems ripe that ends in death. Now, we're all going to die physically, but we're talking about a premature death and a hardships of life and just destroying our world completely. And we could just look, and if we just put our minds to it and we understood scripture for what it is and what it was meant to be, and we think about it, we'd just think about it and pray about it, where we once were in a biblical community and just the holiness of our Creator's guidelines and instructions as our moral culture and life, versus today, where the culture and life is, sin is promoted everywhere we go. And the enemy is looking to destroy and kill us. And everywhere we go, he's looking to tempt us. And that's what's happening. Basically, the majority of things in this world today is just an advertisement from the devil to destroy you. And not only do you fall into that trap, but you actually defend that trap. And you might say, no, you don't. Or not my church. Well, we're going to talk about this today and see exactly what we're discussing here. As we were looking at the so-called Ten Commandments, because there's many more guidelines and instructions about creating than just 10. You know, don't limit yourself to 10. There's over 600. Don't limit yourself to 10. And when we look at this, people still even make excuses saying they can't even keep all 10. We certainly can. Our Creator wouldn't give us these if they weren't needed for us and we weren't able to keep them. But I want to specifically look at this 10th commandment here that says in Exodus chapter 20, verse 17, you shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife or his male slave or his slave girl or his ox or his donkey or anything which belongs to your neighbors. Now, this isn't only about your neighbor. And this isn't about his ox. The note here says, the last commandment ties with all together by not only telling us what to do, but that even our thoughts can defile us and sin starts in the mind. The disobedience to Yah's instruction starts in the mind. The motivation to live against our Creator's guidelines and instructions, against his will, starts in the mind. And this is so important to understand because when I talk about living a certain way that some people might say, oh, that's oppression, or there are cultures around the world that do that and that's oppressing each other. What about freedom and what about love? We have to understand this. The freedom of love in today's world, or the idea of freedom and love in today's world, is only the enemy creating advertisement for people to sin. True freedom and love is following our Creator's guidelines and instructions, so much so that we are so set apart from the world that people will come against you. Because when everybody in this culture is promoting one thing, that's sin. Everyone in culture today is promoting sin. We have to promote Yah's will for our lives. Let's look at Romans 7. Romans chapter 7, verse 7 and 8. Yah's Torah reveals our sin. His guidelines and instruction reveals what sin is. Because it says in the Renewed Covenant, sin is transgression of the law. But it says here in verse 7 of Romans 7 and 8. Well then, might I suggest that let's use the words that we read it in, and then we'll read in the words that Yah wants us to understand it in. It says, well then I am suggesting that the law of God is sinful? Of course not. In fact, it was the law that showed me my sin. I would never have known that coveting is wrong if the law had not said you must not covet. But sin used this command to arouse all kinds of covetous desires within me. If there were no law, sin would not have that power. Now, let's understand the way the word law is used today by the enemy to tempt us to get away from the culture of Yah and get into the culture of today's world and society where we're living in sin and lust and destroying ourselves and killing ourselves. So let's change that word there, law, which is used so often in the wrong way. Let's change that to the word guidelines or instructions of the will of our Creator. And let's read that again. Well then, am I suggesting that the instructions of a wonderful Creator is sinful? Of course not. In fact, it was the instructions, the will of my Creator that showed me my sin or my wrongdoing. I would never have known that coveting is wrong if his guidelines and instructions has not said you must not covet. But sin used this command to arouse all kind of coveted desires within me. If there were no guidelines from our Creator, sin would not have that power. And let's transpose that word there, sin, in verse 8 with the devil, the enemy, the destroyer. And let's read that again. But Satan himself used this command to arouse all kinds of covetous desires within me. If there were no guideline and instruction of my creator, the devil, the enemy, the destroyer, Satan would not have that power. But people are taking this out of context. Our creator says, do not covet. The culture of today says we are going to advertise and get people to covet. And this is what happens. And people often ask me why I have such a desire to teach on the topic of modesty and the topic of not, looking and acting like the world today. Because I would tell you the enemy is using that to destroy one another. The scriptures clearly say, thou shall not covet. And I'm telling you the point of this is, and the word of this is, whether it's physical, the way a person dress or something else, the word of this is, covetousness equals lust. Lust equals idolatry. All of these things go against the nature of our creator. It's what he didn't want for us. Remember, there's a way for each person that seems right, but ends in death, a premature death. We could say an everlasting death. On every level, something he doesn't want for us. But then he says that his ways are for good and not disaster, to give us a future and give us a hope. And we've lost something when we fall into the enemy's hands by allowing ourselves to advertise sin. The streets are flooded with sin today, and we're allowing the enemy to advertise sin on a daily basis. Look, the Super Bowl is coming up on TV, and people are paying millions of dollars for a 30-second commercial because they know that most people are watching this program. So for a 30-second commercial, they're paying millions and millions of dollars to allow this so many people can see what is happening. The advertisers can advertise their sin to the world, producing lust and disobedience of our creator. And I tell you, on a daily basis, this is happening in the world. And would you allow, if you call yourself a set apart, holy believer of a wonderful creator who's following his guidelines and instructions, if you were in charge of the Super Bowl and the TV and the advertisements that were allowed on there, would you allow stuff that was contrary to our creator's guidelines and instructions to be shown in those commercials? Regardless of how much money somebody was willing to pay you, if you were in one with our creator, you would say, I'm not going to allow that. I don't want people to see that. I don't want people to hear that, because it goes against the words of our creator. So we kind of see the motivation of these advertisers and what they're doing. But we have that same opportunity in life within ourselves. What you allow to be seen and what you allow to do. And we have a problem in today's world, because as I said, covetousness equals lust. Lust equals idolatry. And then we get ourselves into big trouble. And we saw examples in the scriptures of this and how this happened. Yah created us with senses, feeling, touching, smelling. And he wanted us to use those senses to keep us safe, to keep us holy, and to keep us strong, and to keep us in every positive outlook. But the enemy is using those same senses to destroy us. To destroy us, our smell, our ears, our eyes, our hands. The enemy is advertising things to that's contrary to Yah's will to destroy us. So let's look at examples of the result of covetousness and the lust that we see here in the scriptures. The first example we see is when Eve desired the fruit that Yah had forbidden. So here Yah says, you shall not covet. You shall not covet. You shall not want things that are not yours. You should be satisfied with what Yah gave you. And the biggest problem we have today is we're not satisfied because we see what other people have and it looks better than what we have, and we want that. Well, we shouldn't be looking at what other people have, and we wouldn't have to worry. We would think we have the best. You understand that? If we're content with what we have, there's no need to look elsewhere. but the enemy tries to advertise and tempt us to look elsewhere, to see nicer, to see better, to see things that are more tempting to us. If you're not looking, you're not falling into this trap. You get it? Our Creator created us with eyesight to see and warn and help and everything good. But our Creator uses our eyesight for everything bad. If we're not looking at the wrong things, we're not going to covet the wrong things, and we're not going to not be satisfied with the things we have. But that's not what's happening today. So we see the first example here. Eve desired the fruit that Yahweh had forbidden, but Satan deceived her, telling her she wouldn't die if she ate it, but instead would become like Yah. So his words, his ideas, she's listening to something other than Yah, and then she sees, it says in Genesis 3, when she saw the tree was good for food and that it was a delight to the eyes, a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was desirable to make one wise, she took some of the fruit and ate it, and she gave some to her husband. He would have saw it, and he ate it. The delight of the eyes, based on the false pretense of the enemy speaking something to people about this. Oh, certainly this will not be an issue. We look and we see King David in 2 Samuel 11. We see this other famous story of King David and the lust for Bathsheba. We see that he saw and he committed adultery and death because of the delight of the eyes, that the enemy put something in him he should have never have seen, he should have never have looked at. And whether Bathsheba was there purposely or not purposely, in a way she shouldn't have been seen, this created the problem. And Yahweh never wanted that to happen. This is why he clothed them fully with tunics. Because once man got this knowledge, he did not want them to fall into this temptation and lust. Completely destroys our lives, this covetousness. And this is what we see happening today. The covetousness of our neighbor's property, the covetousness of the world's property. As it said, when Eve saw something that was pleasing to the eye, and I will submit to you today that she never listened to the enemy and she never looked at the fruit, she wouldn't have fell into that trap of the world today. See, Yah, I probably had that tree covered. So many leaves on that tree covering that beautiful fruit. Don't eat of that. But it's like Satan came and he trimmed away all the leaves and he showed the beautiful fruit. Look how beautiful that tree is. Yah said, stay away from that. Stay away from that. So we have to understand the idea of covetousness and what's going on in every level. We see the enemy trying to do this today. And this is what creates men to fall into this trap. And the advertisement of the enemy out there today to make the culture advertise the things that men shouldn't be looking at. Men shouldn't be seeing. Men should be looking at their wives and only seeing their wives. And the idea of Yah is that a man wouldn't be tempted by the inappropriate advertisements of the world, because man would be trained up enough and wise enough, and women would help the man enough not to see things he should not be seeing. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, or his male slave, or his female slave, or his ox, or his donkey. So here's the thing. In the culture of the idea of Yah, and what Yah wanted was, if a man is walking down the street during biblical times, in the right context before the enemy is tempted him with sin, and the woman is walking down the street the other way, the man will look away or look down and will not look at that woman. The woman will be covered in a way where if the man did see that woman, he wouldn't see anything inappropriate. He wouldn't see anything that was appealing to him. And he'd walk by, there'd be nothing that gets in his mind, no memory of how that woman looked or anything like that. The man would go home to his wife, and his wife would be the only woman that he's seen naked. He'd be attracted to his wife, and there'd be no issues there. But what happens today in today's culture, and what society does, it teaches a man not to look away, but to look directly at and stare up and down. And it teaches the woman to advertise, completely advertising, making herself appear completely in a way that's literally naked to the man. And the man walks past the woman, and he looks her up and down. And the woman does whatever she can do and possibly to attract his looks. And then the man goes home, and he's not satisfied with what he has. And then he turns on some pornographic stuff or goes on the internet and sees more of the advertisements and everything else. And everywhere this, then the man goes out of his house or turns on a magazine, or anywhere he goes, there's all these advertisements to get him to not be attracted to his wife. The enemy is trying to destroy the family unit. The enemy is trying to destroy the ways of Yah. And the man is no more desire for his wife because he covets everything that the enemy advertises to him, because he's not trained to look away. And the woman is not helping him. She's destroying him by letting the enemy use her as the advertisement to do this. And the downward spiral continues from there. If you look at cultures around the world where men and women are trained not to stare at each other, and cultures around the world where men and women are designed not to advertise inappropriate things to each other. And inappropriate is what our Creator calls inappropriate to each other. No man should be seeing the body of another woman except his wife. But the culture and the enemy today advertise the woman's breast, her backside, her legs, the shape of her body, her face, which mimics the, with all the fake up, the idea of a woman in heat, so to say, or a woman is just wants to procreate, and the idolization of a woman's hair to attract and look more appealing to the world's eyes. And you know, people call this today oppression, when the Bible says and our Creator says that a woman should be covered up. But the world today is calls that oppression, and they want women to be able to advertise their bodies in a certain way and to fall in this trap. Now, there's other types of covetousness in scripture. There certainly is. There's covetousness with all types of things. A woman would be completely happy with a car that got from A to B, and a house that had a safe lock on the door and a place to sleep. But then you go on TV and there's all these shows on TV, these house hunter shows, the houses that look bigger and better. And then the women are looking at, judging them on that, not who they are as a person and their character, but on the type of car they drive. Or a woman would ignore a guy that has an average car, but you throw herself at a guy that has a Lamborghini or something. It's the enemy advertising the wrong things to people. And if we keep looking around for something better, we're never going to be satisfied with what we have. The enemy knows that. Yah knows that. But the culture of today's world promotes what the enemy wants and not what Yahweh wants. There's a reason why Yah gave us this commandment, you shall not covet. And it says here, your neighbor's house, but covet anything. Job 31:1 says, I made a covenant with my eyes not to look lustfully at a young woman. any woman that's dressed half naked. Job said, I will not look at a woman like that. I will not look at a woman who's revealing her private parts. I will not do these things. Because Job understood the danger that that puts him in. Not that the evilness and the wickedness of Yah wasn't of the enemy of Yah wasn't around back then. But Job said, I made a covenant with my eyes not to fall into that trap and not look at the advertisements of the enemy. So it says this and shows this. Proverbs 6, 23 and 29 says, for the commandment is a lamp and the teaching is a light, and rebukes for discipline are the way of life to keep you from the evil woman, from the smooth tongue of a foreign woman. Do not desire her beauty in your heart, nor let her capture you with her eyelids. For the price of a prostitute reduces one to a loaf of bread, and an adulteress hunts for a precious life. Can anyone take fire in his lap and his clothes and not be burned? Or can a person walk on hot coals and his feet not be scorched? So is the one who goes into his neighbor's wife, for whoever touches her will not go unpunished. The idea of the covetousness starts in the mind, gets in the heart. It begins with covetousness and ends with idolatry. And then we see the problem from the physical standpoint and what it equals and leads to. And I will submit to you that a divorce today is so high outside the church, in church and everywhere, is because we've gotten away from the culture of not avoiding the enemy's advertisements on the world today. You know, and covetousness, comparing what we have to what the world has. This is why people go broke. They want more than they have. They're never satisfied with what they have. You go to some cultures and places around the world today, people are satisfied with very little. And they're thankful for very little, knowing that it came from Yah. But in today's world, people are not satisfied, because they're continuously looking, coveting. And it gets so down to the level when Yah and puts a husband and wife together, that they'll look together. The woman will look for the man with the nicer house and a nicer car. The man will look for the woman with the nicer body. This is all wrong. This is why Yah says the men not to be glamorous and show off all you have and things like this, or be prideful of these things. And to women, not to show off your body. Come
out of the world. You've been listening to the Torah Life Ministries with your host, Paul Neeson. If you would like to learn more, please visit TorahLifeMinistries.org or call 917-407-2270. This program is made possible by the generous support of listeners like you. To donate, visit the website at TorahLifeMinistries.org or send your gift to P.O. Box 5503, Lake Worth, Florida 33466. Thank you for your prayers and support.
Are you tired of trying to rid your home of ants, roaches, and spiders? Have rodents invaded your attic? Are you frustrated paying for service that never really seems to work? Bug Off Pest Control is there to help. After all, whose house is it anyway? With Bug Off, bugs can run, but they can't hide. David and Esther Lunder of Bug Off Pest Control believe in the ministry of WCNO. Licensed and insured, serving Martin and St. Lucie counties. Bug Off Pest Control, a corporate underwriter of WCNO, available at 343-1177.
The views and opinions of programmers heard on WCNO are the responsibility of the participants and producers of the program and may not reflect the views and opinions of the staff or management of WCNO.